Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Thank you for joining me on tonight. I am so excited to have each and every one of you in the studio listening in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I'm not sure where God is going to go in this, but I know that he is going somewhere. I know that he has a word for us on tonight. in the spirit. I pick up that he wants to encourage us. He wants to empower us. He wants to inspire us. This call really is for anyone that's willing to listen to what the Lord has to say. But I think that the lean on this call is towards leaders in the ministry, pastors, ministers, evangelists, prophets, prophetess, apostles, bishops. If you are working in a leadership role in ministry, I believe tonight this call is for you. There is a heavy laden in the spirit when it comes to leaders. There are leaders that are going through, they are struggling, they're being attacked on every side, and they are getting weary. There's a spirit of weariness that's trying to fall upon the body of Christ. And God wants to speak to us on that tonight. He wants to speak to that heavy spirit. He wants to speak to that spirit that's tired. You know, that tired. I don't know of anybody. I know me, and I could be transparent, but I don't know of anyone else on this call that's in leadership positions. Maybe your leadership position is not in the church. Maybe you're an owner of a company, a business. But you're a believer, but maybe you have a business that you're running. Maybe you're simply a housewife, and you manage home and the children and the husband and the bills. Whatever that leadership role is, if anybody's like me, sometimes I'm tired, and I just could get real tired. And I'm so tired, not just emotionally and mentally, but I'm tired in my body, because when we're emotionally and mentally tired, it's going to tire us in our body. Our body will begin to take a toll on the body. So whatever we're feeling in our mind, believe me, we'll start feeling in our body. And so our body begins to ache. We feel sick to the stomach. We'll start having health issues. When we're psychologically tired, it will begin to cause our body to have health issues, and our body will begin to shut down. And so tonight, again, I believe this call is going to be for those of you who are feeling tired, saints, that you just feel like you can't go on no more, that sometimes you just want to quit, you want to give up. And I am here to tell you on tonight that you can rest if you must, but don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give up. And I know some people personally that might be on this call and you think this is just for you, honey. It ain't just for you. It's for me, and it's for so many others. Being tired and weary and feeling like you can't move forward in what God called you to do, that's not a unique situation. It's not unique AC or BC. Or BC or AC. Before Christ or after Christ. Saints of God, before Christ got weary, and saints of God after Christ was getting weary. But I want to encourage us, and I'm going to get down to some things. Before we move forward, I want to move in prayer first and foremost. I want to set the atmosphere as people begin to enter into the studio. I want to set the atmosphere. If for any reason my connection becomes poor, please dial one on your dial pad to let me know. I want to make sure that I'm clear and I'm concise, and that there is nothing, there's no bottleneck, nothing blocking what the Spirit would have for us on tonight. So, Father God, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you, and I am honored for this position that you have called me to, Father. I am committed to the call. Father God, I thank you for each person who has taken time out of their night to be listening in to this call tonight, Father. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon them, Father, that the words that will go forth will rejuvenate them, will empower them, will encourage them, Father God, that they too committed to the call that you have brought them to, Father, the call that they said yes to, Father God, that they will be committed to run forth no matter what, despite whatever they're going through, despite whatever pain, despite whatever challenges, despite whatever obstacle, Father, that they will be willing to stay committed, that they won't quit, Father. I pray that you would give them the rest that they need, that you would give them the strength and the peace that they need, that you would give them the tools and the resources for the work of the ministry of kingdom purpose, Father God. We thank you on tonight. We thank you for the rhema word that will go forth on tonight, Father God. I pray, Lord, that somebody on tonight will be encouraged, that somebody on tonight, Father God, will quit and not kick. Lord, that the spirit of slumber, the spirit of tiredness, the spirit of weariness, Father, we bind those spirits right now in the name of Jesus, and we demand them to let loose your people, Father God, so that they could continue forward. So, Lord, we just thank you on tonight. You are welcome in the studio. Have your way, Father God. We submit totally to your movement in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we were talking about being tired and being weary and not wanting to continue on. And today, as I was studying for this show on tonight, I was stuck. Let me keep it real. I'm not going to be... I could say some eloquent things, and I could articulate some sentences, and I could read you some scriptures, and I could tell you some stories, and I could do all that on tonight, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm just going to keep it real. I did not feel like doing this show on tonight. I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't have nothing in me to give on tonight. I was completely empty. No particular reason. I'm not going through any strange thing, but today has been a really weird day for Coach D. Today has been I could feel me being off balance. I could feel me being emotional. I could feel me going through what the world would call or what men call the woman, the woman thing. I could just feel so emotional. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't have anything to give, Lord. You know, I need a word, and I need you to let me know which direction to go. And I tell you, he is so faithful. Right before this show, his presence became so apparent. He began to minister to every part of my body, mind, body, spirit. He began to minister, and he began to pour into me what he would have me to say on tonight. He began to remind me about those in the Bible who were committed in spite of their circumstances, those who pushed through. He told me, Denise, I want you to have the Daniel kind of commitment. You don't get no more commitment than being tossed into a lion's den. He said, Denise, I want you to have the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego type of commitment. I want you to have the John the Baptist type of commitment and the Apostle Paul type of commitment. I want you to have the Noah type of commitment. And I tell you, I would begin to see what he was saying. He said that throughout the Bible, these are just a few that I'm naming, but there were men and women of God that were totally committed to the call. And even though they didn't feel like it sometimes, and even though life took twists and turns, they were committed to the call. The thing that Jesus called them to, that God called them to, that ministry. And so they were committed to the call. And I'm going to go and we're going to talk about a few of these people because I want to remind us that it ain't always easy. When you say yes, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be always comfortable. And we got to know that we're committed. And when we know that we're committed, then it's not going to matter what happens on the outside of us because we're going to have to pull from the strength that's on the inside of us. And sometimes we just get too weary, and sometimes we feel like we can't move forward. But on tonight, I want you to know that God says, yes, you can and you will. Yes, you can, and you will move forward. You will move forward in me. You can't do it by your own power and might. You have to do it by his spirit. Amen. We're going to talk about Noah. I'm just going to talk briefly about Noah. For those of you who may not know who Noah is, and Noah was in the Old Testament. Actually, the story of Noah is in the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis. And Noah was called by God, and Noah said yes, and God began to share with Noah about this big flood. Now, you have to remember, in those days, they had never seen rain, and so Noah became probably the laughing stock, and if I'm not mistaken in the Bible, it gives the impression that maybe Noah also may have a drinking problem. Noah liked to get tipsy. And so Noah was listening to God, and God gave Noah instructions. And Noah said yes to God, and he began to give him instructions on to build this ark. He was preparing Noah and Noah's family for this flood. And we know that story of Noah. But what I want to remind us of is that Noah only took his wife and his sons and his son's wife on that ark. If you remember all the years that he was building it, the people within his town didn't, you know, they thought he was crazy. Noah just a drunk. He done lost his mind. What is this thing he's talking about, a flood? What is that? He's tripping. Can you see that? He's tripping. And so Noah had to make some decisions, because I'm sure that the words and the negativity and the things that the people were saying was bringing Noah doubt. Am I really hearing what I think I hear? Did God really call me to do this? Or am I doing this in my own strength? Am I doing this out of my own mind? So I could imagine, I'm not going to even sit up here and think for 1 minute that Noah was just so, yes, Lord, and never look back. Yes, Lord, and never question God. Yes, Lord, and never doubt it. I'm very sure that he had doubts. I'm very sure that he had questions. I'm very sure that he had to make some hard decisions, because I'm sure the closer it got to that time coming and God gave him specific instructions. Do you know the people that Noah had to leave behind and him knowing what was going to happen to these people? I'm sure if Noah had, if he was married, his wife had family, and then his daughter-in-laws had family. So we know that it was there had to be other family members, not just a little bit of people that went on the boat. So he had to leave behind these people knowing that they were, oh, Jesus, knowing that they were going to die. But he was committed to the call. He was committed to do what God told him to do, even though he knew he was going to have to suffer some pain, the loss of loved ones that he couldn't bring. He had to suffer some pain because people laughed at him and they doubted. And they called him crazy. You don't think that's painful? We go through life and we get all bent out of shape just because somebody talk about us. Think about it. We all bent out of shape. We fall out with folks. We ready to fight folks. We ready to blast them out on social media because they said something. So Noah was committed to the call. Now, I'm going to skip on down again. I just wanted to bring that out there, Noah being committed to the call. But Noah wasn't the only person that was committed to the call. Let's go to our brother Daniel. Daniel was committed. Daniel was committed to his God. And Daniel, if you don't know the story about Daniel was committed to his God and King Darius. King Darius, I believe, overall was a good king. But King Darius had some folks working for him that was just pure evil. And they were jealous of Daniel. They was jealous of Daniel, and they was jealous of the God that Daniel was serving. And so they had tricked King Darius into making a decree that anybody that worshiped anybody outside of King Darius would be thrown into the lion's den, that they would be killed. And Daniel wasn't budging. He was not going to worship anybody but his one true God. And because of that, Daniel ended up in the lion's den. Daniel was committed. He was willing to die for the call. He was willing to die for the call. He was committed. I will not serve no other God. I will not worship anybody but the God. And he stayed on course. And because he stayed on course, he was thrown into the lion's den. But we all know what happened with Daniel. Daniel had favor with the Lord because of his commitment. See, God rewards commitment. God rewards sacrifice. God has never asked us to be successful. He's only asked us to be faithful. He's not looking for how many people you could pack your pews with. He's not looking for how many people that's going to call in and listen to Process of the Pain every Thursday night. He's not looking for how much money I can make or how many ministries I could create. What he's looking for is, Coach D, will you be on Thursday night on Processing the Pain when but one person show up? Would you be on Processing the Pain if don't nobody show up? Will you still preach and teach what I told you to preach and teach? Or will you change your mind? Will you allow life circumstances and situations to cause you to shut down and shut out? or will you be there? And even in the midst of the pain, and even in the midst of the tears, and even in the midst of death, and even in the midst of sickness, and even in the midst of, some folks don't know what I go through on a day-to-day. Some folks don't know what I'm dealing with in my family, and with whatever's going on with my parents and my siblings and my kids. People don't know what I'm going through because I got to be here on Thursday, regardless of everything I'm going through. And there have been moments and times where I just couldn't be here. There have been moments where I just couldn't be here. But I'm telling you, on the overall, on Thursday night, I'm going to be here. And there have been some times where I was here by myself, nobody but me and God. It's been times where it's always been me and God. I say by myself. And it's been times where I've been here and it's just been nobody but me, God, and my son. But I was committed to the call that I was going to be on this show even when I didn't feel like it. And it's been times where I opened my mouth and nothing that came out of my mouth made sense to me. And I don't know if it made sense to other people listening in, but that's what I did. I opened my mouth and I allowed God to use me. Daniel was willing to worship in spite of death and ended up in the lion's den. And guess what? God delivered him in the lion's den. I love this story. I love this story because anybody could have delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. Anybody. It could have been the guard. It could have been the king. It could have been the jester. Anybody. But only one person could deliver Daniel in the lion's den, and that was God. Amen. And then we talked about our brother Noah, and we talked about our brother Daniel. But guess what? They weren't the only ones, because we got these three little Hebrew boys that we all know about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were committed to the call. They were gonna serve their God, amen. And we know the story about them. They these three little Hebrew boys, if you could remember, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon at the time, and when they refused to bow down to the king's image, because they weren't gonna serve no other god but the God, and when they refused to do what they were being asked to do, they got thrown into the fiery furnace. Oh, but guess what? God met them in the fiery furnace. They were met in the fiery furnace, and we all know that story, and we know the outcome of that story. Amen. But they were willing to go through the fire for the call. They were willing to go through the fire for the call, and you could only imagine. I'm sure the fear of just knowing we're not going to make it. We're going to get thrown in this fire, and that's it. We're going to our death. But they were committed, and they were willing to go through the fire. Now, we're going to move it up a little bit, and we're going to get over here into the New Testament, and we're going to talk about some other folks. And one of the folks that come to mind for me, and every time I think about this man, of course, the first thing I think about is that he was even committed not to even have a good meal. Think about John the Baptist and how he was destined. He was destined to his assignment. You know, that was Elizabeth's boy. And if you remember, Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary. Mary was committed to the call. She carried Jesus. And she could have not been committed to the call. She could have not trusted with the angel that God sent. She could have not trusted what he said. She could have not trusted God. She didn't have to commit to the call. She could have got pregnant and said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it." And then she could have turned around and slept with Joseph before Jesus was born. She could have set up and did a whole bunch of stuff that could have messed up the assignment. But she was committed to the call. She was committed to the call. And then the angel told her to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was an older cousin. Elizabeth was pregnant at the time that Mary showed up at the door. We know the story. And Elizabeth's baby, which at the time was John the Baptist, inside her belly began to dance when Mary showed up. Why did he dance in her belly? even as a baby in her belly, in her womb, he began to dance. He knew the presence of his of the Messiah was there. And when he was born, he knew what his assignment was. His mother was committed. Elizabeth was committed to the call. And she trained him and she taught him, I'm sure. She guided him because she knew the call on his life. How many of us as parents know that our children have calls on their lives and we're guiding them towards that call? How many of us are speaking life into them and speaking the word into them and taking them to church and making sure that they got the base foundation so that they could be all that God created them to be, so that they too would know and learn to be committed to the call? So Elizabeth knew that. And so when John was older and he was ready for his ministry, John was a preacher. And John was a preacher, but he was also, I'm sure people thought he was crazy. He lived in the woods. He ate locusts and honey. He was probably dressed crazy. He probably had a long beard. His hair was probably dreadlocks. I'm just imagining. Because we know that, you know, you see people with long hair and they don't comb their hair for years and years and years. It begins to dread. So I'm sure his hair was dreadlocks. And I'm sure people thought he was just a crazy man. But he was out there in the woods preaching, repenting. The time is near. It's coming close. He's coming. One is coming that he wasn't worthy to tie his shoes. He was making a way for our Savior. He was preaching repentance. He was committed to the call. And he wasn't like, how we know he wasn't like? Was there anything in the Bible that told us that he really wasn't like? Well, John was beheaded. If you remember, the king at the time's wife wanted John's head. And the king gave her what she wished for. So he was beheaded, but he was committed to the call. Now, I want to show you something even in that story. Because I want to encourage you. Because John the Baptist was committed to his ministry. He was committed to the call. But he also had doubt. If you recall, he also had doubt. Because when he finally got an opportunity to meet Jesus and baptize Jesus, and he ended up going to jail. John the Baptist ended up going to jail. And if you remember, he tried to say, get word to Jesus. And the word, and I'm paraphrasing, you can look it up. But the word was basically, man, I'm sitting up here. I was out here preaching, preparing a role for you. And now I'm sitting up in jail. And you ain't going to do nothing to get me up out of here? So though he was committed to the call, he still had some questions. He had some concerns. He probably got a little irritated. How many of us is committed to the call? And things happen, we get irritated. We have disagreements. We don't agree with things. Things don't go exactly how we wanted them to go. It's been times that we said the same thing to Jesus. Lord, I thought you said that this is what you wanted me to do. Lord, did I miss you? Lord, if this is what you called me to do, then why I ain't got no money? Lord, if this is what you call me to do, then why you just take my loved one? Lord, if this is what you call me to do, why am I sick in my body? Why am I losing my house? Why is my husband cheating? Why is my wife not supporting me? Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. How many of us have said that? How many of us have questioned the Lord? Just like John the Baptist questioned the Lord. And yet, he was still committed to the call. Amen. Now, I'm going to get to the last one. Because this one's going to take a while. So we all know Saul from Tyrus. We all know about the story. He was going around persecuting the Christians. He was killing them. But you know his story. He was a terror. He was going around just killing up the Christians. But God had a plan. And we know about the road to Damascus, and we know about him losing his sight, and we know about him being ministered to, and we know about people not trusting him because they didn't really know. Yeah, we know you say you're a Christian now, but however, we know you're a follower now, but however, we don't know we could trust you. So you could imagine the opposition that he had in the first, especially in the first years of his ministry. People probably still didn't trust him. How many of you are out there that you said yes to God, but people still trying to hold you to your path? How many of you out there say yes to God, Lord, I'll go, I'll do it, but your family can't respect you because they still see you as a crackhead? How many of you say yes, Lord, I'll go, but your friends can't respect you because they still see you as a prostitute, a liar, a thief? They're still trying to hold you to your path. But God has done a new thing in you, because the word of God says that you are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. But sometimes our family and the friends, the people that see us, is going to hold us accountable to the path. Paul's friends held him accountable to his path. Some of Paul's people that wasn't his friends held him accountable to his path. And he was committed to the call in spite of. I don't know how many people showed up on his first couple of times that he ministered. How many people you think showed up? God may have said, Paul, I want you to go over here and I want you to speak. And Paul was being obedient to the call. He's committed. How many times you think he might have went somewhere to speak and the people started throwing rocks at him because they're like, you're a murderer. Who are you? Why are you here? We don't trust you. And yet, Paul is probably one of the biggest, the whole New Testament, at least I would have to say at least 20-something of those books written in the New Testament were attributed to Paul. That he wrote most of the New Testament. You know, it speaks about most of the New Testament speaking about his conversion, his persecution, his early discipleship. It speaks about his whole life. It even speaks about his pain, his suffering. You remember he talked about the thorn in the side, and he talks about doing those things that he know he's not supposed to do, but he do them anyway, and he don't want to do them. And, you know, we know it. And he's being very transparent about this journey that he's on. And it came with a lot of pain. Paul done been in jail. He done been capsized. He done been bitten by snakes, all for the call. And I would have to imagine, just because of what Paul was prior, what Saul was prior to him being converted to Paul, I would have to say that he probably wasn't poor. He was probably a pretty well-to-do man. He probably was pretty well off. I'm sure he was pretty well off. And I'm not so sure that once he said yes to the call, that he was still as well off as he was before he said yes to the call. Come on now, somebody know what I'm saying. Some of us, when we was out there in the world and we was out there doing slinging dope and selling dope and hustling and passing fake credit cards, y'all know what I'm talking about. And we was making all this money and driving around in Mercedes Benz and living in homes that we didn't own and all this other kind of stuff. And then when God finally took us on that road to Damascus, when we was on that road and got knocked off of our high horse, and then all of a sudden we decided, yes, Lord, I'll go, I'll commit to the call. And some of us, it wasn't able to continue to live like we were living before. And yet, even though we had lost the homes and the cars and the jewelry and the designer clothes and all the stuff we were used to, yet we had peace. We had peace in the calm. We had peace in the calm. There was a different kind of joy. Some of us had never experienced joy. What Coach, do you mean? What is the joy? See, joy is that thing that's internal. Joy is that thing that no matter what's going on the outside, no matter what's going on the outside, joy is that inner thing that says everything's going to be okay. I'm okay. Joy is that thing that keeps you pushing. Joy is that thing that keeps you when happiness is, when being unhappy is all you know at the moment. And so I want you to make sure that you don't get happiness confused with joy, because your joy could be full even when you're not happy, because happiness is based on circumstances and situations. And so the circumstance changes the day your happiness could change. Happiness is from moment to moment, because I could be happy right now and anything could be said or done that could change me from being happy. But things happen and can change and go forth that will not steal my joy. Why? Because of who I belong to. And I know, even in the pain, that it don't last always. Why? How do I know that? Because I've suffered pain many times, and I'm going to continue to suffer pain. And just like he got me out of the pain yesterday, he'll get me out of the pain today and tomorrow and the next day. Because I've seen him bring me through the pain. Pain is to be processed. It's not going to be eliminated. You're going to always have pain, but it's to be processed. And I guarantee you, if you process the pain and you be committed to the call, it will take you to the next level. It will take you to the next level. Will there be some more situations that's going to create pain? Absolutely. Think about it. Me and my son last Saturday, we did something, and my son had never experienced watching The Passion of Christ. And I had watched it before. It was a little bit, years ago when I watched it. But he had never watched it, and he wanted to see it. And he's 16 now, so I think I felt like that was a decision he could make. And so we sat Saturday, and we watched that movie. And it was just a reminder for me, even though I don't like watching it, because it was so graphic and it was so detailed. It was really, really detailed to the scripture about the crucifixion of Christ. And so I'm watching that, and I can't help but be emotional. But it was a great reminder. It reminded me, because it was a great reminder that my pain and my suffering can't compare to the suffering of Christ. And we want to say we love him. And we want to say, Lord, Lord, I just love you. I worship you. You're mighty. You're faithful. And we say all this nice, true stuff. But as soon as some little pain come around, we want to shut down. We want to quit. Ooh, Jesus. And God has said we can't quit. We're in a war. There's going to be some wounds. There's going to be some wounded soldiers. Let's get healed and get back on the battlefield. We're in spiritual warfare. And we said yes. We signed up. And it's time for us to get back on the field. We can't quit. Rest if you must. It's okay to rest. Getting rest is wisdom. Because this mortal body can't handle it. Even though your spirit is fired up and could go, the body always can't handle it. Oh, it's okay to rest. It's okay. I got to sit down for a minute. I need to get a drink of water. I need to maybe have a meal. Let me just get an hour of sleep. Let me get prayed up. Let me go back into my closet, my armor back on. I might have lost something in battle. You know, sometimes we lose a piece of that armor in the battle. And then we have to go back. And we might have to go back and get another sword. We might have to go back and get another helmet. We might have to go back and fix our helmet, straighten it up. But we're not supposed to quit. And it's easy to quit. So my next thing is, surround yourself with other like-minded believers, if you call to ministry and you're called to a purpose, you got a vision and you're called to it, and you are hanging around with people who are not like-minded, who are not called, guess what? You're causing yourself to be defeated. You should be surrounding yourself with other people that could speak some life into you. If you was having a heart attack, who would you rather be around? A football player or a cardiologist? Amen. Who would you want to be around? The cardiologist, of course. Because if you're having a heart attack, you want to be around somebody that know what to do to save your life. You want to be around somebody that maybe they're strong, a football player strong, but just because he's strong ain't going to help you in this situation. If he don't know how to do CPR, if he don't know what to do to somebody that's having a heart attack, you're going to die. You need a cardiologist, somebody that's going to know exactly what to do, going to know exactly what medicine to get you. And that's the same way in ministry. You need to be around people that know what to do when they see you being attacked. You need to be around people that know what to do when they see you tired, when they see you getting weary. Moses, they held up Moses' hand. Do you got people around you that's going to hold up your arms for you? Woo, Jesus, that's going to speak life into you? That's going to tell you you could do it? Don't quit. Keep going. If you ain't got those kind of people around you, then you got the wrong kind of people around you. Get around people that's going to encourage you, that's not going to tell you what you want to hear, but it's going to tell you what you need to hear, that's going to provoke you to purpose, that's going to keep you on the field, that's going to keep you committed to the call, that ain't going to baby you. That ain't going to say, nah, that's all right, just go on and just quit. No. They need you. We need you. The kingdom of God needs you. Everybody's on assignment. And everybody's assignment matters. And when you're not walking in purpose, when you're not walking, and everybody ain't meant to be a teacher. Everybody ain't meant to be a preacher. Everybody's not a prophet, a prophetess, apostle, a bishop. Everybody's not. But everybody that's a believer in Christ is a minister. Because you're supposed to be ministering the word of God. You are a minister. And see, we get caught up on titles. And just because you're not up on the pulpit preaching, you're still a minister of the gospel. Because you're supposed to be going and telling people about Christ. If you're a believer, every opportunity you get, you're supposed to be telling somebody about the good news. And sometimes telling people about Christ ain't necessarily fair. Well, do you know that, you know, that Jesus is Lord? It ain't always that. We tell people about Christ in our actions. We tell people about Christ in our charity. We tell people about Christ through treating people, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, the commandment. We tell people about Christ when we see people that's in situations that's not Christ-like, but instead of us badgering them, we can love them back to health. We can love them back to God. That's how we teach people about Christ. Yes, it's good to know the word. Yes, you need to tell people sound doctrine, the word of God. But everybody don't need to be preached at. Because our actions, our love, he said, how would they know you? Because we'll be exemplifying the love of God. Surround yourself around people that you know could keep you on track, that could edify you. Amen. Make sure that when you're saying yes to the call and be committed to the call, that you are. Be committed. You know, I got to say, I've been doing this Processing the Pain show. I want to say it's been about 5 years when I first started doing it. And it's only been about maybe almost four years that I've been doing it under my own network. And I could probably think throughout the whole time I've been doing this show, only one time I didn't quit, but I stepped away for sabbatical. And even when I did that, I did it too long, and I was out of order, and I was in disobedience. I didn't think I was. I was just like, oh, I'm just taking a rest. But I was in disobedience, and I had to repent and get back on track. I say that to say this. Sometimes we miss the mark. Sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we don't make the right choices. But see, the kind of God we serve, you have the opportunity to get back on track. You have the opportunity to repent and turn away from and get back on track. That's the great thing. That's why Jesus came, to give us that opportunity. And so I want to encourage someone on tonight. I don't know who you are. I don't know all the details and circumstances. I'm not this message will impact one particular person, even though I know some people, you know, that know me, and I know some things about them. They may say, oh, she just trying to talk about me. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about my brothers and sisters in Christ staying committed to the call and not wavering. Staying committed to the call. And rest if you have to, but don't quit. I'm saying we need you. You can't flip and flop God. We can't flip and flop God. We can't say yes to God and not keep our commitment and not keep our word. And guess what? I hate to tell y'all this, and I didn't understand this. I did not understand this when I was younger. I did not understand this when I was younger, but the Word of God tells us in Luke that, and I need to be exact. I'm going to be paraphrasing, but I want you guys to get this. This is a cold thing, and it's going to hurt some people's feelings, and it's going to step on some folks' toes. But the Word of God tells us in Luke, somebody might know where I'm trying to go here. Hold on, bear with me, please. Thank goodness for internet. Matthew, Luke 14 and 27, but also Matthew 10 and 30 and 38. But what it's basically telling us is that whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. That's basically what it's telling us. It's saying if you won't, If you can't carry the cross, what's the cross? What cross did Jesus carry? Think about it. Do you think that cross that he was carrying was that it was easy? Do you think that there was pain associated with it? Blood, sweat, tears? I don't know. So he said, anybody can't carry the cross. We got some crosses to carry, and it's not going to be easy. The other thing is that we can't keep making other people our God. We can't do it. We're in sin. That's called idolatry. My mama, my daddy, my kids, my spouse, whoever, I love them. And you know we say, I take a bullet. It's certain people I would take a bullet for. I would die for. But guess what? If I'm not careful, those same people could cause me to miss the mark with God. Because some of those people could become my God. And if they become my God, then I'm dissing the God. And he speaks about that. He's a jealous God. He's not gonna allow somebody else to take his place. So if we're not careful, our kids, our husbands, our wives, our parents, those people can become our gods. And that's sin. Anything that we give our full undivided attention to is worship. Oh, Jesus. anything that we give our undivided attention to and we meditate on, that's worship. That's the kind of attention we should be giving God. We should be so fully engaged, our total attention, not thinking about the pot roast, not thinking about what show is coming on, not thinking about what the, but when we go into our closet, it's supposed to be us and God, not asking for nothing, just us and God. That's called extravagant respect. Worship is extravagant respect. Simple form. Ain't nothing got my attention but God. So when we give other people, places, and things that kind of attention, we are worshiping them. It's called idolatry. And God is not pleased. God is not pleased. That's not Coach D. That's the word of God. He's not pleased with some of us. We tripping. We better get back on track. We better repent. And say, Lord, I need to get back on track. He ain't saying you can't love your family. He ain't saying you can't love your friends. He just said you can't make them your God. And anything that you're giving your undivided attention to on a regular, and I'm not talking about you having a conversation with your child and your child is trying to tell you something and you're giving him your attention. I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about things that we're meditating on. Things that we're just, we can't even function because this is what we're thinking about all the time. It's adultery. And God is not pleased. And I could hear it in the spirit. People said, but Coach D, you don't understand. Coach D, what about this? Coach D, what about that? It ain't no what about. It's about the word of God. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? And he said, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow him are not worthy. Are you worthy? Are you willing to carry the cross? Are you willing to let go of some of these other, these little G's, the little gods in our life? That don't even belong to us no way. And I know it's hard as a mother. And we got children. I got a son that I'm constantly praying for him, constantly concerned about what he has to face in this world. I'm constantly, you know, doing the mother stuff. And then I have to remind myself, fear or faith. Am I going to be in fear that God, am I going to fear or am I going to have faith that God's going to have him covered and keep him? That he don't belong to me. He belongs to God. He don't belong to me. God has just given me the ability to be a steward over his life. And sometimes I just fail terribly at being a mom sometimes. Because I got my own things that I got to process through. Amen. I want to just take the time right now to, if you are on tonight's broadcast and you have a comment or a question, or even if you need prayer, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will pull you in. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. If you need prayer and you're not willing to say anything, you could always hit me up, inbox me, direct message me, send me an email at Coach D, it's coachd@mcdnetwork.org, and I would love to pray with you. I would love to be an accountability partner with you. I would love to provoke you to purpose. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad. Okay, we do have a caller. Caller, area code 310, last 4, 3211. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Good evening, Coach D. Wow, tonight's show brought me tears. It brought me to tears. It did correction, and it planted a seed in my heart that I know I need to rededicate myself to Christ, to everything. I guess I can just be real and say I'm just one of those that's just, I don't want to say lost, but I'm just stuck.
And God knows you're stuck because you're His daughter, and He knows you're stuck. And so sometimes we just got to go before God, even what He already knows, and we just got to go before Him and say, Lord, I don't know how to do it without You. I just don't know how to do it. I'm stuck in this place right now. I'm hurt. I'm heartbroken. My heart is crushed, but I know I can't stay here. And, Lord, I need You to do a mighty work. I need You to change my mind. I need You to change where I'm at. And you just have to go before His throne and let Him know. You can't do it. You know, sometimes
Amen.
We just think that we got to be. You know, sometimes we think we got to just be something that we don't know how to be. Sometimes we just don't know how to be, and we're His children. If your child comes to you and say, Mama, I don't know how to do this, as his mother, you're gonna show him how to do it.
Right?
Because you love him. And he's asking you. God is the same thing. We're his children. And when we don't know how to do it, all we have to do is say, Lord, I don't know. He know we don't know how to do it, but he's waiting for us to come to him and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this.
And he's
faithful and just. He's faithful and just, woman of God. Trust him and believe him. He's faithful and just. I know, and without going into anything, I know all your circumstances and situations. And I'm just telling you to trust and believe, because he knows everything that's going on in your life. He planned it, but it's for a purpose. And you may not be able to see
Amen.
The purpose right now, but one day you're going to see the purpose, and you're going to say, wow, I get it now. Amen.
Amen. And I do believe that. I do believe that. Just, we got to, like you said, remember those that are called. Remember our dedication and commitment to him, because when we need him to be committed and dedicated to us, we definitely know how to get on our knees then. So, wonderful show this evening, Coach D. Inspiration. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, woman of God, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you. Is there anyone else that's listening in on tonight that have a question or a comment about tonight's show? Please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. If not, I tell you, ooh, Jesus, we serve such an awesome God, and He loves us so much. He loves us so much, and He didn't just call you because He just called you. He knows you. He created you. He created you, so He knows what's in you. He's not going to give you nothing else. You know, if you're waiting for God to give you some more stuff, or are you waiting for God to, He's not. Everything that you need to succeed in what He's called you to do, you already got. It's already in you. Because keep in mind, on the seventh day He rested. Everything that was going to be done, anything that was going to be done, any healings that was going to be done, any deliverance that was going, everything that was going to be done was completed. We are a manifestation of the finished work. Ooh, and when you think about it at that, everything that's in you is already there. It's already done. Amen. Father God, we just thank you this evening. We thank you for the rhema word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father God, for not leaving or forsaking us, but standing with us even in the midst of our mess. Father God, we know that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Father God. We know we don't always get it right, Father. We don't always say the right things or do the right things or think the right things, Father God. But, Father God, we just love you. And we just thank you for being faithful. And we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to come boldly before your throne, Father God. We thank you for allowing us to be able to repent. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only son to die for our sins. Father God, we just thank you that each and every person got exactly what they needed on tonight, that every need was met according to your glory and according to your purpose in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you you are God of second chances, Father God. We thank you that unlike us as humans that get all bent out of shape when people don't keep their commitment, Lord, that you don't get bent out of shape. But, Father God, you just gladly receive us back. So I just say thank you, Father. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for forgiving us, Father God. And, Lord, thank you for creating us to be all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to thank you for tuning in tonight to this episode. We appreciate your support and your listening in. If this show blessed you, feel free to send the recorded version to family and friends that you believe it may bless them. We thank you that you continue to tune in every Thursday to Processing the Pain, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we ask that you listen in on Wednesday night to Woman to Woman, 7 p.m. As well, same channel. That one we are celebrating, or not celebrating, but we're bringing awareness to the month of October, domestic violence awareness. We have special guests in the studio every Wednesday for the month of October. We've heard some tremendous, we heard some testimonies. We've heard tragedies turn to triumph. We heard so many stories and testimonies of survival and overcomers due to domestic violence. And so we're going to keep those testimonies coming in to bring awareness and bring hope to those who are hopeless. Again, we thank you for tuning in tonight. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Many